I want to ask you this morning to take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar verse of Scripture with us, one that we know, in fact, we looked at here a couple of weeks ago. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. God has a unique way of changing up some things, and today is no exception. I want to take just a moment and share some things with you this morning. As you know, as we're here, I thought about it when we were singing here, as Brother Allen was leading us in the songs, and man, just so powerful worship. You know, that's a good thing. It is a good thing to come in here and sing like that and to praise God like that. The Bible tells us that if He is lifted up, then He will be here, and I believe He's here right now. But this is the thing that really stuck out in my mind here just a few moments ago. As much as we sing, as much as that, there's still, at some point, what do we do when we go outside of this place? What do we do then? Because believe it or not, today life is very hard. Every day is, in some cases, a battle. For some of us, we may dread waking up tomorrow morning for what tomorrow holds. For some, we may dread going home today for what home may hold for us. For some of us, we may dread going to the job tomorrow because we know what that job brings. Possibly the job itself, possibly coworkers inside that job. For some of us, it could be family issues. Husband-wife relationship issues. Parents, children, children, parents. Boy, life is hard, isn't it? I didn't say all that to bring you down because I want to bring you up with what the Word of God says. Because I'm going to tell you today, listen to me. As I sat there and as I sang what my brother led us in, I'm here to tell you there was just an energy that come over me. There was a power that come over me that I'm here to tell you is of God. And I'm here to tell you today, listen to me. I just want to give you a brief summary of what I'm about to say here. We will win. I need you to hear myself say that. We will win. All right? Notice what the Bible tells us here, though. First of all, I want to show you some things that are not so good in the Word of God. We really don't want to hear these things. But then I want to show you, I want to end this and tell you what Jesus Himself said to His disciples and to people that He taught and to us right here in this room today, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 8, I'm reading out of the King James Version this morning. And the Word of God tells us this. Peter writes, and he says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." That means this, that every one of us sitting in this room here today who is a born-again believer, who has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, has a relationship with Him, that means this, that Satan is after you. And you. And you. That means that he is going to do everything he can to destroy you. He's going to do everything he can to destroy you, your family, and even, we'll see in just a moment, even as far as taking your life today. That's a pretty stout enemy, isn't it? The Bible tells us right here, though, that for us as believers today, it tells us to be sober and be vigilant. What does that mean? That means that you and I are to always be on guard, on ready in every case and every arena of life, not just inside the church walls, but outside this place. In fact, we are to be more on guard outside this place than we are right in here. Notice this building, this room that you're in is called a sanctuary. A sanctuary is a place of peace. It's a place where you can let your guard down for just a few moments. But when you walk out these doors here in just a few moments, the guard better come up. We better be sober. We better be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, has set his sights on you and he is going to do everything he can to take you down. The Bible is clear. Peter tells us that right here. Well, what is he going to do? Well, look back at John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. And verse 44. The Gospel of John. I hope you write these verses down and go back and look at them. Look at these in the context. The verses prior and the verses after this. Hope you have an opportunity to do that. But in John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 verse 44. Jesus speaks here. And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, you are of your father the devil and the lust. And now what I want you to catch is the description that he gives of our enemy. He says, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. All right, but now he begins to describe him. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, right there, we find out two things about our enemy. Number one is this. He's a liar. He's going to lie to us no matter what. He's going to lie to us and tell us that alcohol, drinking that all the time, that's good stuff. Yeah, hey, man, it'll make life better. No, it doesn't. It makes life worse. Addictions to other things. This will make life better, but it really doesn't. It makes life worse. Because once the alcohol is put down or once the drug is put down, guess what? The problem's still there. So he's going to lie to us and tell us that these things are good. But they're really not. In fact, they're destructive to us. And the Bible says clearly that he has set his sights on us. Listen, even to the point, not only he will lie to us so much, he will lie to us to the point that you and I are dead or dying. The Bible says Jesus himself told us right there that he is a murderer. He is out to take us down physically. He is out to take us down emotionally. He is out to take us down spiritually. He is out to take us down. He is going to attack every avenue of life. And guess what? He is going to hit you in your weakest point and in my weakest point. He is going to hit us where we least expect it. He will find the weak link in your chain and in mine, and that's where he will attack. Guess what? Sometimes he will even allow family members to be used to attack you. Man. He knows no boundaries. There is nothing that he will not do to bring us down. He will and is out to destroy us. But look with me for just a moment. What else is he up to? Well, look back at Luke chapter 22. Look here for just a moment. I want you to see this. Luke 22. We see he's a murderer, see he's a liar, he's out to get us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter to be sober, to be vigilant, because the adversary, our enemy, if you will, the devil is out to get us. But here in Luke chapter 22, look at verse 31 with me. Jesus is talking to Peter and he says this, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What does that mean? He is wanting to destroy every part of our life. He is wanting to destroy everything in our life. And listen to this. You know how He does this? He gets us so involved in something in our life. He gets us so involved, so off track of the things of the Word of God. He gets us so off track of these things till we are consumed with that and we neglect this. Then we are vulnerable, then we are spiritually vulnerable, and at that moment, at that particular spot in time, is whenever He attacks, right then. Why? Because you and I are at our weakest spiritually. We have not been in this, we have not been in prayer, we have not been in the Word of God, we have not spiritually fed ourselves through these things, and we are spiritually drained weak. And that moment is when He hits. And I don't know, maybe you're in it. I know I'm in it. I know I am. I was kidding around with someone just the other day. I reached in the cabinet to grab a glass. I dropped the glass, and when I went to drop it, I have cat-like reflexes. The bandage attests to that. But I went to catch the glass, and when I went to catch the glass, I pinned it against the cabinet. And when I pinned it against the cabinet, it shattered. And when it shattered, a shard of it just drove right into my thumb right there. Oh, that's not the worst part. If there is ever a nurse or a doctor that comes after you with what is known as a silver nitrate stick, run. Or as the little boy said in O Brother, Where Art Thou? You are UNNOFT. Get out of there. Go. Because that stuff hurts. But you know what I thought right then? I thought right then. You know what? And this may sound outlandish. This may sound whatever. But Satan will use anything to get your mind off what it ought to be on. Satan will use whatever he can to derail us from doing what we ought to do. Satan will use whatever he can to do. He will use any of that to get us off track. Why? Because just as Jesus told Peter, He tells us here in the 21st century this morning, He wants to sift you like wheat. Why? So that you will be absolutely useless in the kingdom of God. That's why. How in the world can you and I serve God? Listen to this. How can you and I ever serve God when we are engulfed with these things? It's real hard to do. It's next to impossible to do. But praise be unto God this morning. There is good things in the Word of God. Yes, we are in the fight of our life. Yes, we are in a battle that seems like it never ends. We are in a fight to the death, if you will. We are in it to the last bell rings of the last round. We are in this, but guess what? We are not in it alone this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew with me. I don't know who you are sitting out there this morning or listening. But you're sitting in this room, man, that's me. I'm in that fight. I am down to the last knot in my rope. I am about to throw the towel in the ring. I am about to say, that is enough. I give up. I let Him win. Don't you dare do that. Because see, the Bible tells us clearly right here, Jesus Himself tells all of us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When you are in the throes of the fight, I won't go into the historical ramifications of what Jesus is talking about here, but he's talking to a people who are burdened. They are in the fight of their life as well. It is dealing with religious issues and idolatry, ideologies rather, and basically legalism is what they were fighting. And Jesus looks at these people and he tells them this, and it echoes into the halls and into this auditorium this morning when he says these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh. Oh my gracious. Today, listen to me. When you're in whatever you're facing today, whatever you are in right now, are you turning to the one who can help you through this? It is so easy to get your eyes off of the one that can help you. It is so easy to take your eyes off of Jesus and put it on something else. It is so easy to take it off of Jesus and put it on the problem at hand, whether it be family, whether it be job, whether it be financial. It is so easy to take your eyes off Jesus. It is so easy to do that, but Jesus encourages us right there in Matthew. He says, "Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest today." How many of you in this room today are laboring like you never have before? In fact, you have come to the point maybe in your life whenever there is literally beads of sweat, physical beads of sweat forming on your brow because you don't know what to do next. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. The answer is plain as day. It is Jesus today. It is the one who says, "Come to me." Come. Jesus is always bidding us to come to him. Come to him. Come to Jesus today. Come to the one that can take care of all of these things. Come to the one today who can give you rest today. Come to the one who can lighten your burden, can lighten the load that you have. Why? Why do we need to come to him? Why do we need to come to Jesus? Well, it's found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Well, let's start at verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. And listen, I want to read this. I'm going to pray, and as I'm praying, I'm going to ask Brother Alan Singley to come forward, and I want to ask a couple of our deacons to come forward as well. I want to ask Brother David Caraway and Brother Mark Redmond, if you would, to come forward up here and help us up front up here. And maybe today, you just need to say, "Hey, I need to come to Jesus. I just need somebody to pray for me, with me. I want you to come here. Maybe just come to this altar." What you do as God leads you to do this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Why come to Jesus? Why? Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels or mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." There are others sitting in this room right here today who are hurting. Maybe you are on cloud 9, you are on the mountain peak. Life is great. Praise God. And I do not say that sarcastically. I really. But they are some today who are in the lowest point of the valley, sitting in this room right here today. They are sitting right here. It is time for those of us who are on the mountaintops to reach down and grab our brothers and sisters and lift them up and help them at this time. Verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What in the world does that mean? That means you and I have won through Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus today and claim your victory right now. Father God, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you for what is found in here and God, the truth that is there. Lord, it speaks volumes to me today that God, today, that victory is had through you. Lord Jesus, I pray now for whoever may be sitting in this room. God, whoever it is, Lord, I pray at this very moment now that, Lord Jesus, they come to you. Oh, Lord, we are tired of carrying the burden. Lord, the load is heavy. But God, you told us that we need to come to you. And God, today we do that. We come to you. Friend, wherever you're at in this room right now, and your burden is heavy, life is hard right now, whatever it may be, I invite you to come to Jesus right now. Wherever you're at, stand up, start making your way. You don't have to wait till we start singing. Come on right now. Come to Jesus this morning. Father God, I do pray that, Lord Jesus, now, you give us strength, give us power, give us might. That, Lord God, today, you would give us insight. Lord, give us, lighten those burdens in our life. Lighten those loads in our life today. God, give us strength today to overcome. God, give us that today, I pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Alan, you
sing. Oh, to Jesus I surrender.